Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited to welcome back another great returning guest. That kind of goes together. If they're great, they come back. If not, well, maybe not. But excited because we've got a very important subject to get into, and we've got a great guest to help us do it. Andrea Combs is our guest today. She is a personal financial writer and columnist and editor, and she's freelance, which means that she can choose where she works or who she's contracted and working with, and has done a lot of work with the Wall Street Journal and Market Watch. But her stories have also appeared in Miami Herald, Sacramento Bee, San Francisco Chronicle, San Francisco Examiner. Any papers left in San Francisco she hasn't written for? I don't know. We'll have to find out. Does a lot of writing on consumer issues, including work over at Yahoo Finance, and has been the recipient of numerous awards, including Excellence in Personal Finance Reporting from the Radio Television Digital News Association. So very cool and very glad to have her back. 14 years of experience, articles focusing on personal financial topics. And we're going to tap into that knowledge and that experience. And we're going to dig into a very important subject. And that is, ready, drum roll. We need a drum roll sound effect, Beth. We'll have to put that on the soundboard. How to retire in a bear market. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of questions about this, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to talk about this with Andrea and figure out where we need to be thinking about with this. So let's get started. Andrea, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much, David. Good to be here.
All right. You're very welcome. Glad you're here. You got the setup. So let's dive right in. As markets hit new highs, the natural, especially when the bull market is long in the tooth, as they say, when it's been a long time since we've had a 20% decline, when we see that, people start wondering, especially when you throw into the mix, oh, I don't know, maybe an election. You have all this kind of conspiring. People naturally ask the question or start to ask and wonder about, hey, could we have another bear market? And if we do, what do I do about it? And I'm getting a lot of questions from people about how to position their portfolios in light of some of those concerns. So conveniently, you wrote about it recently in MarketWatch. So I want to dig into this and kind of talk through it with you. There are some different options that people have when they're right on the brink of retirement or even already in retirement. They're retired and living the life. Some things they can do to position themselves for such an event, the market cycle called a bear market, where we're 20% off our highs. So if the Dow is at 18,000, just for example, that would be a 3,600 point drop. So let's dig into that. What's maybe some of the first things you would suggest that people consider in preparing themselves for such an event?
Well, the first thing really is it's just great for people to think about it sort of in the calm, you know, before it happens.
Before it happens,
when they're not simply reacting emotionally to you know, big swings in the market. And again, I just want to say this is for people who are in or near retirement. So if you're, you know, younger folks, it would be a different story we'd probably be talking about right now. But for people who are approaching retirement or who are in retirement, I mean, ideally, you know, if retirement is just ahead of you there, you know, you want to have, at least a year, hopefully, you know, 3 or more years of your income set aside somewhere, you know, not in the stock market, because you really don't want to have to be pulling out money from your stock holdings, when they're down. And then there's this big, issue around this. They call it sequence of returns risk. You may as well have.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Sorry.
I said, sure, yeah, I've heard about that, and I have a more provocative name for it, dollar cost ravaging.
That's right, dollar cost ravaging. And so I like that. It's basically if you're early on in retirement, your portfolio drops precipitously. It's much lower than it was when you retired. If that happens early in retirement, you don't really have time, to make up the losses, so your portfolio has a much higher chance of not lasting for your entire retirement. I mean, basically, you're withdrawing money from a portfolio that's down, and that's just a bad situation to be in, and you want to avoid that if possible. So ideally, you are setting aside some years of income into some kind of, cash-like investment or it's hard these days because, there's just no interest rate to be had anywhere, so, you just kind of have to stick that money somewhere. It's not going to be earning a lot, but it's safe. It's there for you to use as income. So that's ideal.
That's good.
So let's say you're in retirement, you know, the market crashes. Rather than, you know, ideally, rather than tapping into that portfolio when it's down, what you want to do is try and tap a different asset. So again, you hopefully have this cash on hand. Another option, maybe you have a life insurance policy that you can take cash from. Maybe another option is a reverse mortgage line of credit. So there's been some new research lately that people are looking at reverse mortgages in sort of a new light. You know, they have kind of a bad name for a lot of folks, and there are issues with them. You need to be careful to make sure it is right for you. But for some people, a reverse mortgage line of credit can be a great way to you sort of open up this line of credit. You do pay some fees, and there's costs there, but you open up this line of credit. One of my sources described the fees as a sort of an insurance premium, basically to have access to this cash if you need it. So you open up this line of credit and you draw down. Again, you know, you have to be 62 or older. There's a, you know, number of rules related to reverse mortgages, but that's one option as a sort of.
Well, and let me make a quick comment on that, Andrea. Number one, I need to be one of your sources, by the way. I can tell you a lot about using the reverse mortgage as part of an overall financial plan, and the answer is it's a great source and solution not only to avoid having to draw from your portfolio if you use that line of credit. You can also reduce the need to draw on your portfolio to begin with and maybe refinance your existing mortgage into the reverse where you don't have to make those monthly principal and interest payments. And the other thing for our listeners and also for your future consideration is that there is a lot of different ways the reverse can be used, but there are fees, but there's also variation in those fees. So I had a lady that we recently looked at a reverse mortgage for her, and she was quoted an origination fee of, ready for this, $4,500. And we looked at what she was trying to accomplish, and we could offer her zero. So,
better.
Thank you. That was good. So I'm really putting the tough questions out there for you, Andrea. So, but you know, the point is that it definitely could be part of a plan, but there is no perfect investment. I've joked for two decades, I've kidded around with anybody who will listen. There is no perfect investment. There's nothing that is going to have everything you're looking for. And there's always going to be a trade-off with anything, including looking at the reverse. But to avoid like the devil or like the plague or whatever the best way of describing, avoid it at all costs having to pull from these portfolios while they're down is just a huge defense and smart way of positioning yourself for the bear market. So, and to put yourself in a position, what would you do if it happens before it happens? It's not like, no, not that different than running into a bear in the woods. You know, if you're out backpacking or hiking, you've thought about that scenario. What would I do? And, you know what you're going to do if it happens instead of waiting till it happens to make a decision about what to do.
That's a great analogy. I like that. Think of it as a real bear.
Exactly.
Prepare for it.
I need to be on the short list of your sources, Andrew.
All right. Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
And there are other options. So maybe someone, you know, a reverse mortgage isn't for them.
Sure.
But they've been thinking about downsizing anyway, you know, and maybe if their housing market allows for it, that, you know, if you think a bear market's coming, downsize now. Reduce your, that relates to another point of mine, which is cut costs. So you, you know, you downsize, hopefully you're getting some money out of the house. You are reducing your costs if you're moving into a smaller place. These are all ways to kind of help you navigate a bear market. And cutting costs, I mean, I think people don't really talk about it that much when they're talking about retirees. But I think it's something to think about, you know, even temporarily reducing your portfolio withdrawals, but, you know, by reducing your costs, can help you navigate, because it can help you navigate a bear market. And keep in mind that these, you know, it turns around, you know, eventually it will start going back up again.
That's
so it's just a matter of kind of temporarily, okay, maybe I'm not going to go to Europe this year. I'm going to go in a couple of years. I'm going to delay that withdrawal. I'm going to, you know, delay the kitchen remodel. I'm going to delay whatever it is, the discretionary stuff, just kind of put it on the back burner while the bear market's going on. And then, you know, you can plan for it in the future and it'll be fun in a couple of years when the markets come back.
There you go. Well, if you're just joining us, Andrea Combs is our guest today. We're talking about preparing for a bear market before we wander into the woods and maybe have that encounter. Her writing is over at marketwatch.com and wallstreetjournal.com as well. We'll dig in deeper. There's lots more we can do to prepare or mitigate bear market risk. And hopefully it doesn't happen, but it will eventually, because it always does. And it's the nature of the beast. So let's grab a quick break and we'll talk some more. Stay right there.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your financial portfolio prepared for such a correction? What about inflation? What's your plan when that gallon of milk or gallon of gasoline costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has all the answers to questions like these and practical steps to help you hedge against these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland.
And we're back. Sweetness on tap. That's us. Very sweet in what we're trying to do. We're trying to figure all this out for you, ladies and gentlemen. And we bring in great guests to do that, like Andrea Combs, who is personal finance writer and columnist and editor for two very well-regarded organizations, publications, MarketWatch.com and WallStreetJournal.com. Check out more of her work. We're just talking specifically about how to prepare about for a bear market, which the time to prepare is before, not during or after. And yes, hindsight's 20/20, but we know how these things work. And it's always better to be prepared. You know, before I pick up on some of the other things we might consider, you know, you mentioned about holding a significant amount of liquid cash, you know, 1, 2, 3 years worth. And as you also already pointed out, Andrea, that there is not much money to be made in doing that. A lot of people, when I talk to them about having cash on hand, that they immediately go to that and say, well, I like the idea of an emergency fund, David, but I'm not making anything on that money. And so my response to that is, well, the fact that you're not making any money is simply the cost of liquidity. Think of it as a premium to have 100% liquidity and principal protection of that money. You go get it, and you don't have to bring an armed guard with you to go get the money from the bank.
That's a great way to put it. It's liquidity protection. It's a way to, you know, preserve your portfolio for the long haul. So yeah, you're paying a little bit for it right now because you're not making any money on it, but it's safe.
So well, and think of the places really around the world where if you went and got a large chunk of money out, that you might want to be accompanied by somebody to protect you to get money right out of the bank. Okay, other strategies, a couple others that I know that you wrote about that I thought was very interesting, and I want to kind of point those out. We've already talked about downsizing, potentially cutting costs. How about locking in income? Again, the time to make sure you've got your financial house in order is before there's, you know, a major problem. But what do you suggest are some of the ways that people can lock in income?
Well, there's, you know, put very simply, you can take cash and buy an annuity. I mean, you have to, you know, really do your research, but an immediate income annuity or a deferred income annuity, you know, sort of a simple product. I'm not talking about variable annuities.
Right. Something simple and easy.
Right.
Yeah.
Simple and easy. Low cost, ideally.
Yep.
I mean, you will pay for the benefit of having guaranteed income. But
right,
taking a portion of your portfolio and locking in that income for your retirement, you know, you have that locked in income, that guaranteed income combined with your Social Security, and, you know, that can help you manage the ups and downs of the market in your portfolio. You can let your portfolio sit. You can have this guaranteed income. There's a whole other story to talk about, you know, when to claim Social Security. I advocate as often as possible for people to delay that. But again, this income annuity can really help you manage your portfolio. It depends a lot on the size of your portfolio.
Right,
some people, it just isn't going to make sense. You do not want to take all of your money and buy an annuity with it. It locks up all your money.
Right.
That's not a good idea, but it might be a good strategy for a portion of your portfolio. And sort of the more complex way that it's been described to me, one strategy is called funded ratio management, where you look at all of your assets and income against your total spending needs through retirement. So it requires a bit more. You need a planner probably to do the calculations. You know, you want the present value of both your, you know, your income, including future Social Security benefits, and the present value of future liabilities, and you kind of see where you're at, and maybe you do withdraw from the market.
Yeah.
It could be something that makes sense given your unique situation.
Well, you know what, Andrea, I forgot to tell you that we're not allowed to say the word present value on this program. I'm just kidding, because half the people just ran off the road. They fell asleep. No, I get what you're talking about. And actually, you know, you made another I love it. This is very good, because you're bringing up some points that sometimes people don't always think about. And there's a lot of noise in the financial world about annuities. And my view of them is they fit sometimes they don't. There are different types. Some of them cost more, some are more complex. But to specifically that you mentioned, the immediate annuity and then the deferred income annuity, which has an income feature, these are very viable programs and can be part of a plan. Buying an annuity, hear me, ladies and gentlemen, buying an annuity is not getting a financial plan. It's just one part. It's another tool in the toolbox and can be part of a plan. And, you know, Andrea, what really gets me excited is when we look at all these different tools, think of them not as tools, but as instruments in a symphony. And you look at each of them and you get each one playing at the right time and working together. And of course, the financial planner often is in that conductor's position to bring all that together. But there might be a situation where somebody needs an income annuity. They need to have an investment portfolio. They might need a reverse mortgage. They might need to wait on Social Security or accelerate depending on their situation. Mm-hmm. All of that comes together. And that's what's called planning your financial future.
Right. Right. That's a good point. An annuity can be a part of that, and it is something to consider for sure. Not to, like the reverse mortgage, you don't just write it off because of the bad headlines.
There's been $2 trillion put into annuities in the last 10 years. I mean, there's a lot of appropriate use of them. Now there are some that are more expensive and more complicated, and I've recommended people move out of them and do other things that are more efficient. If you shop around, you can get an annuity with no fee at all.
That's the deal you want.
I know these are really tough decisions to make here. I'm glad we could talk through them. It's very important to be careful, shop around, and know that you do have options. And speaking of shopping, I know one of the other strategies that you mentioned is with the bear market to shop on sale. Talk to me about that a little bit.
Well, I think, you know, I think the good news is more and more people are realizing that, you know, a bear market, what it means is stocks are on sale. It's a good time to buy because they're going to, you know, go up. I mean, they might go down a little bit further. You never quite know. Timing is impossible. But in general, you know, you hit the bottom of a bear market, it's going to start going up. So it can be a good time to get stocks for cheap. But you need to be kind of careful when you're doing that. You know, first of all, like I said, they might keep going down.
Right, that's right.
You know, maybe dollar cost averaging in, like, to, I don't know if that's another term you don't use on your program, but, you know, buying, you know, using small amounts of money to buy in over the course of a period of time rather than putting a lump sum in. Maybe that's, you know, that's one way to kind of navigate the daily fluctuations and buy stocks at different prices. But definitely you want to shop carefully. And one thing to consider, you know, maybe there's, as one of my sources in my story noted, you know, maybe there's an energy ETF that looks really good to you.
Yeah.
Well, do you own a lot of energy stocks and other mutual funds in your portfolio? You know, really check to see what you own and make sure you're not kind of loading up without even realizing it. Because a lot of us don't really know, you know, we have a variety of mutual funds of investing in variety, you know, different areas of the stock market. You don't want to like start diving in and buying things when you may be really, really ramping up your risk without realizing it.
You know what, Andrea, that's probably one of the most important things that we need people to remember from our discussion here is that before you do anything, first, what do you got? And I use another analogy here. You're probably going to get a little worn out with them, but it's a little bit like going to the doctor. You don't show up to the doctor and say, what do I need to do? And they look at you and go, what in the world are you talking about? Well, say, I want you to prescribe. I don't feel good. Prescribe me a medication. And the doctor is going to say, well, hold on, I can't do that. I need to draw blood. I need to run this. I need to do that. I need to weigh you. I need blood pressure. I need all of that. So before we start talking about loading up on energy stocks because they appear to be down, you might already have 25% of your portfolio in energy stocks through the existing investments you have.
Right, right. Exactly. So really know what you've got. And, you know, somewhat related to this, and I mean, my next point is don't panic. You know, my next idea during a bear market is don't panic. You know, stick with your investment plan. And, you know, that kind of comes back to this whole idea of trying to time the market, mm-hmm. trying to get out. I mean, I think what people don't talk a lot about, for someone with a, you know, it does vary depending on where you're at in your investment, you know, your time horizon. Like, you know, people with a very long-term time horizon, and even retirees can have a long time horizon because, you know, if they're healthy and likely to live another 20 or 30 years, that's a pretty long time horizon. You know, I think we don't talk enough about how this kind of idea of buying and holding, which lost a lot of, you know, people just don't like it in a lot of ways. I think that's a bad idea.
Well, we don't have the attention span for it. That's the problem.
That's right. And, you know, there may be losses in your portfolio during a bear market. There are likely to be some losses. There, you know, if you have a diversified portfolio, they're not going to be as large. The losses should not be as large as what you're reading in the headlines,
right,
because the headlines focus on, you know, the S&P 500,
exactly,
or you know, any other number.
But you know what? You know what, Andrea? If you aren't disappointed with part of your portfolio during a market decline, then you don't have a diversified portfolio to begin with.
There you go. You want to see some losses.
Exactly.
But that's the thing. I mean, losses are okay. I mean, I think, you know, people think I should never have a loss. I need to get out and then get back in.
Yeah.
And that's just
good
a
luck
terrible
with that.
Way to invest.
Right.
You're not going to get out and get in at the right times. I mean, if nobody is good at doing that, individual investors, you know, I think most investors just don't have the information they need.
People get lucky now and then, but it's just very difficult to do consistently. Andrea Combs, ladies and gentlemen, our guest today, personal financial writer and columnist and editor, and she's writing for MarketWatch and Wall Street Journal, MarketWatch.com, WallStreetJournal.com. Quick break. We'll come back, and I want to talk about the number one thing to do and be aware of in case of a bear market. Stay right there.
Two things are for sure. It's summertime, and the kids want to swim. I'm sure glad that we enrolled our children in the Volusia Flagler YMCA Summer Swim Program. It was so easy. At the Y, they enjoy water sports, meet new friends, and most important, they learn water safety skills. If you haven't signed up yet, call your local Y or log on to vfymca.org. Come on, it's summertime. Enjoy it more with the Summer Swim Programs from your Volusia Flagler YMCA.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
All right, we're back. And boy, did I lead you on right before the break. The number one thing to do to prepare for a bear market. Andrea Combs on the line to help me answer that. And it's right from your article, Andrea, and I'll go ahead and tell you which one I think it is. Don't believe everything you hear. We have a 24/7 news cycle. How many stations? How many national news, cable, all of that, and they all have to fill their airtime. So do not believe everything you hear.
That's a great one, and I'm glad you told me which was your number one, because in my story, it's actually number 7, but that does not, these were not ranked in order of importance.
Okay.
So I'm happy to put that at the top, too.
I just think it's so important because, there is so much agenda-driven, not even talking just about politics. Of course, that's a major thing as well. But agenda-driven, if somebody is selling gold, they are going to tell you that the world is going to end tomorrow, so buy gold today. Same with, we see it from some of the people that are selling financial products, and it's just, you have to, in fact, even in over in the journalism and with magazines and things like that, I've had people say, I read this article, and they weren't very nice about this product or that product, and I say, well, first thing you do before you read any publication, any article from them, you have to always look and see, all right, first let me see who the advertisers are. So if I've got a magazine, flip through who are the advertisers, then read the articles that appear in that magazine.
Right. And another thing, I mean, sort of related to this idea of what you're reading in the media, I mean, I and others like me, other personal finance writers, talk a lot about, don't sell low. Investors too often are selling low and buying high, and they should be doing the opposite. But, you know, if you're in a bear market and you are retired and you have, or just about to retire, and you have, 85% of your portfolio is in equities, maybe it's not the best time to rebalance, out of stocks when they're so low, when they've fallen. But, maybe it's the right decision for you. Maybe you really, rather, as long as
Thank
you're just
you.
Not reacting
yeah.
to the fear, but you're actually sitting down with a planner or just thinking about it yourself and
right.
realizing that actually you can't handle this. This is too much for you. I mean, ideally, you wait till the market comes back up because it
right.
will eventually,
right.
and then you sell out of equities. But if you just can't wait, maybe it's the right decision for you.
Absolutely. That's another excellent point, Andrea. It's if you get within the 5-year, 3-year, 1-year window and you're sitting all in the market, and I've had this conversation many times, we need to reposition because we know you're going to be doing probably some other things with the money when you get into retirement and needing to recast, reallocate, redeploy those resources. So there's nothing wrong with taking at least some of the money off of the table. We'll have to have you back, talk more about this, Andrea. It's excellent having you with us again. Andrea Combs, personal financial writer and columnist, editor, freelance. She's working with MarketWatch and Wall Street Journal. Check out her work at MarketWatch.com and WallStreetJournal.com. Andrea, always a pleasure.
Thank you, David. It was great to be on.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.